Well, across America and around the world, once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. Yes, they are much, much worse than they used to be. And I'm back here in the chair, and we are once again live. And for those of you who know how this show is run and what's going on, you know I've already screwed it up twice. That's what happens when you start doing a live show and you just start getting used to it and you go away for a little over a week. The trip to Denver, ladies and gentlemen, was eventful, and I've got a lot of things to describe to you. Also want to take some calls tonight and talk about what you've been hearing while I've been away. I know many of you are new listeners, and this was your first exposure to anything involving the hidden religion of the worship of Lucifer. Of course, the worship is not of Lucifer as a god per se, or do they believe in Jehovah as a god per se, but these are representatives of certain philosophies in the minds of those who practice this religion. And it'll be interesting to hear some of your ideas and what you've heard, and to sort of talk about it a little bit. In the meantime,
come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, hey, baby, come on.
Yes, folks, I'm still here after all of these days and all of these years and all of these months and everything else. Isn't this fun? I'm having a ball here. I forgot what all these buttons are for while I was gone, and this is driving me absolutely insane, but I'll get it before the night's over, and tomorrow night will be better, I hope. Well, did you hear Clinton's health plan? All these billions of dollars to pay for everybody's health care that they should have taken care of themselves all their life, just like Social Security. And we've all got to pay for it. And notice he compared it to Social Security. Social Security is how they indoctrinated citizens of this country, citizens of the states, into giving up their citizenship and joining the 14th Amendment country of the federal government by accepting a Social Security card. And the law said that it would never be used for anything else except Social Security. And, of course, the trust fund for Social Security doesn't exist. They take all the money out and use it for everything else. And now the Social Security number is the ID number for everybody in everywhere, police departments, military service. It's your service number. It is used everywhere you go. The first thing they want to know is your Social Security number. And if you don't have one, they won't do business with you. So they lied about that. And we've all known that there's going to be one ID card that's going to serve as everything. Notice he said tonight that everyone will be enrolled. No one will not be allowed. No one will be allowed to not have this health insurance. And he held up a card. Did you see that card? Well, folks, now we know that's going to be the card. That's going to be your driver's license. It's going to be your health insurance card. It's going to contain your whole record of military service and criminal record, if you have one. Everything. I bet you anything that it will end up also being a bank card and cash will disappear. And this is how they're going to hook every American on the card. Prediction, folks. That's my prediction for the night. Let's go to the phone. 602-333-2174. I've seen it ringing. Just keep on calling and you'll get in. That's, once again, for those of you who have not called before, I don't know what the phone number is, 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
This is Jeffrey Dykin. I know you don't know me. I'm a first-time caller from New Orleans, and I've been anxious to get on your show for several reasons. First of all, last week while you were gone, Marlon Mannix was substituted for you for several days, and he had Bill Jasper on with his Global Tyranny Step-by-Step. Are you familiar with Mr. Jasper's work?
No, I'm not.
Okay, Mr. Jasper, of course, is working through the John Birch Society, but he basically is coming up with similar solutions to what you've been talking about, except that he is more summarizing all of the documents that have come up through the years concerning the development of one world government step by step, and is showing how the government's been developed through the UN and other agencies of the international conspiracy through the Illuminati, et cetera, et cetera.
No doubt about that.
And, of course, after Mr. Jasper came on, two of your programs came on last night and Monday concerning the Masonic connection to the conspiracy, etc. But where I have a problem with you and your program is this. Some of the conspiratorial things that I've heard about seem to link the conspiracy more to the Republic of Plato rather than to some kind of diabolic source that you're talking about, especially when they... when they talk about the various classes of guardians, if you remember how the Platonic Republic works.
Yeah, but I've got to interrupt you right here because evidently you came in on this show on Monday night. Is that correct?
I heard we only got two of the programs, Monday night and Tuesday night. The last week we only heard Mr. Jasper on the last 3 days of the week when you were gone.
What frequency were you listening to?
58140 and 74338.
Okay, I was on 7435 all last week, and that's my normal frequency. I'm just now changing, so I've...
And they're going to change it to 5810.
Yes, so they've been simulcasting on both of those frequencies for the last few nights.
Right.
But the show has been on WWCR for a long time. In fact, I've been broadcasting since May the 4th, 1992.
Yeah, I only got a good shortwave recently, so that's why I'm a recent listener.
Okay. The reason I interrupted you is to let you know that we're not just connecting this to the Freemasons. The Freemasons are just the manifestation of a much earlier and older group. And we have already aired 29 hours of what we call the Mystery Schools series, which explains it all the way back from, and guess what, from before Plato, my friend, much, much before Plato. These were the original priests who started out worshiping this pantheistic god represented by the sun. And if you'd heard our series from the beginning, you would have picked all this up. You're catching bits and pieces, but it's going to be continued. Anytime I go on a speaking tour or something, then I just pick up right where we left off, and we just keep re-airing the mystery series.
Yeah, well, of course, I'm interested in that because I've heard of connections between this and fascist Sparta through Robert Welch's speech, More Stately Mansions, if you remember that speech back in 1964.
Absolutely. These people are the original socialists. They're the original fascists. They are the original communists. And out of these groups, these secret groups, all of those modern manifestations of these isms have sprung.
Yeah, I agree with you there, and I'm glad that you brought this out. But have you ever had any contact with Ayn Rand and the Ayn Rand Institute on these issues?
No, but I've read all of her works. And
what do you think of her?
Well, I think that she certainly has an end to the power, but she ignores an awful lot of the root and the fundamental beliefs of what this is all about. And when somebody doesn't address that, and I feel that they're in with it, then they're a spokesperson for those people.
Mm-hmm.
So she is, in some way, serving as a spokesperson for that group.
In what way do you say that?
Well, if you read her works, isn't the message something like, hey, you guys don't even know what you're screwing around with. On your level, you can't conceive of the power that these men have.
Well,
maybe you really are just a bunch of cattle.
Well, no, her message is that these men who are part of this aristocracy of poor are mystics who believe that zero is greater than one and that belief is greater than thinking and that the real answer is to live by logic rather than by faith and to use reality as your only guide.
Well, that's absolutely correct, but that's not the perception of the common man. The common man reads her works and says, my God, if this is all true, I'm an insignificant little fly on the nose of a cow in that field over there.
Well,
that's the perception. Pardon?
Of it.
Can you say that again?
I say I did not get that perception of her.
Well, you'll notice did you hear what I said? The common man,
the
guy who only knows one thing in his whole life. He works on a Ford Motor Company assembly line, and when the car passes in front of him, he puts a bolt through a hole, he tightens up the nut, he screws it down, he torques it a couple of times, he moves the door up and down, and he makes another adjustment. He gets off of work, and he goes and sucks down 2 6-packs of beer and goes to bed. That's the average guy.
Right.
Whether you know it or not, that's who it is. You don't sound like that to me.
No, I'm not. And, of course, that's the tragedy she's trying to point out. She's hoping that people will try to improve themselves by learning to think.
I got news for you. That average guy I just described to you wouldn't understand what he read in her book, except it would scare him to death.
Well, I would have to disagree, but on that point, I say keep your work going, and I hope we can continue to listen to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, if he didn't agree, if the average guy didn't agree, or if that wasn't true, what I just said, he wouldn't be standing on a Ford Motor Company assembly line tightening down a bolt and then complaining because they shut down the plant and he's too old to learn something else and then going out and sucking down 2 6-packs of beers. That's the truth of the matter. Good evening. You're on the Hour of the Time.
Hello, Bill. This is Randy in Lyle, Illinois. How you doing?
Hi, Randy.
That 5810 frequency for us is much strong, bodacious.
That's what I've been hearing from everybody. I'm also hearing from a few people that it's worse than 7435, but it's so few that I'm not even going to pay attention to it.
There's a lot of people in the 40-meter ham band that tune up on the 7400 frequency, but I'm not going to get into that. I just had a quick question for you. I'm new at the teachings that you've been giving, but I listen to them with great interest, and I'm not going to even get into it too much because I'm not that sharp on it. But I had a question about, I get Guns and Ammo magazine,
uh-huh.
And on the inside page of this month's magazine, they had a camel ad with the pyramid.
The eye and the triangle, oh yes, I know.
And the eyeball.
Yep.
Have you seen anything in that you might say is significant to what's coming?
Absolutely. If you've been listening to this program for a long, long time, you know about the obelisk.
I just started listening here.
Well, then you don't know about the obelisk. And you don't know about the generative force. You don't know that the people that they arrested and tried to try for Kennedy's murder in New Orleans all had stone penises in their homes. And if you look at the camel ads, the face of that camel is nothing more than the genitalia of a human male.
Yeah.
And why more people have not come up in arms against that may have something to do with the human psyche is that if they don't admit that they understand what that imagery is, then maybe it'll go away. Or if they do admit it, maybe that makes them some kind of a bad person.
Sure.
And so whoever's putting camel out certainly is a part of all of this.
I understand.
I'll
continue listening, and I'll gain more knowledge. And I would encourage anybody else starting to listen to do the same. It's very interesting. I hopefully someday we'll get out to see you in person. person.
Great.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. By the way, folks, you'll see more symbology beginning to emerge. That's how they speak to each other. That's how they identify each other. You'll see more corporations coming out of the closet. For instance, were you aware that Honeywell has a division in Europe called Lucifer? I bet you weren't. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
My name's Chris, calling from Colorado.
Hi, Chris.
I met you very briefly the first part of that expo endeavor.
Oh.
Right before you were heading out to the printer. In fact, I handed you the joke.
Oh, I remember you. Yes, I was in a hurry, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to stop and talk, but I had...
Well, I spent some time talking with your wife. Nice lady.
Uh-huh. Well, we got time now. Go ahead.
Really enjoyed it. The camel ad.
Yeah.
Very appropriate vis-a-vis what you had in the program last night, the taped show, which was a rebroadcast, in terms of the reappearance of the symbology of the Eye of Osiris.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hitting us with this all over the place. It's becoming, I guess you would call, overkill.
The old gods are returning.
Yeah.
The gods of the philosophers of fire, nature's gods, are all returning. Pretty soon you'll see somebody on TV wearing the head of a stag.
You know, it's interesting. I thought back, and you know, you can guess my age from having looked at me and met me. But I thought back to some of the early television that I watched, or at least, you know, formative television. There was a show back in the mid to late 60s called Then Came Bronson.
Uh-huh.
Had a guy on a motorcycle traveling the U.S. That was real interesting. At the time, I was wondered on the gas tank of the Harley Davidson, there was a little symbol, and it wasn't the Harley Davidson logo by any means. He had a red tank with a gold leaf emblem on it, and was the all-seeing Eye of Osiris. I was wondering, what in the world did that guy have that on his motorcycle tank for? Now, you know, I've looked at the dollar bill; it never connected to anything. And this is the one opportunity, having just spoken with you briefly at that show, that I've got to say this, but thanks very much for the wake-up call. Made a big, big difference.
You're welcome. Did you attend any of the workshops?
No, I had no chance to. Unfortunately, time was short, but I understand you'll be back again perhaps next year, and I will schedule accordingly. This was short notice, and I was just glad to get down there and, number one, know that you were still there, that you're a real person. They haven't got to you yet. Congratulations. Keep that string going. And it was nice to just get down there and, I guess, see an under-attended expo with one luminary. And that's pretty much what I have to say.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Well, they've gotten to me several times, folks. I just get up and keep on trucking, and that's the secret, really, of doing anything. If you know you're doing the right thing, don't ever stop. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
This is Barry in Norwalk.
Hi, Barry.
Hi. Oh, man, I just want to tell you thanks a lot for... I try to explain this stuff to my wife, and she just don't... She don't take it seriously. You know, she's going to church and stuff, but there's certain things that are popped up. I've written you several times, and you got some stuff coming to you. But I was going to talk to you about... yesterday I went to the secondhand store. The libraries are all closing down, it seems like, you know.
Uh-huh.
And because of the cutbacks.
Yeah.
And I went to the secondhand store and started looking for books, and I found the Third Wave, you know. And this is yesterday's broadcast. I heard last night, but I bought the book yesterday morning.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking, wow, there's some strange forces at work here, you know. But what had happened, I was looking through my comic books. I have a comic book collection. And I found DC Comics. They have the Death of Superman, and he came back to life again, or whatever.
Sure.
But I was going through some older ones. And I have one called Madame Xanadu, and in the front it has this lady doing tarot cards. And I open the page up, and there's instructions for kids how to do tarot cards.
Uh-huh.
And I look at the down at the bottom. It says DC Comics, and it on intervals. One it'll say 666 Fifth Avenue, New York, New York, and then the next issue will be Rockefeller Plaza. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of weird. So I look at the new Superman cards, which they're trading cards. I sent one to you. You can look at it. And you turn it over in the back, and it's a pyramid, and it's got the S. It's like an illumined S. You know, S is upside down, it's still S.
Uh-huh.
And I was just saying, wow, man, this is, like, kind of weird. You know, kind of spooky. But I got a book called The Rallies of Nuremberg about Adolf Hitler and all the youth rallies and everything he did. And he brings up the Freemasons. He talks about Freemasonry and says that they're part of the whole problem, you know, that, at that time. So, I mean, these things that are happening.
Well, you have to be careful about that because you have to understand there's a lot of people out there that worship Hitler as if he did all that he did by himself. Mm-hmm. Hitler was chosen to be elevated to power. He did not walk into power, and he did not garner this great following. He was chosen, and he was chosen by occult interests in the secret societies in Germany, in particular the Germanic Order, the Thule Society, and the Teutonic Knights, which, by the way, no matter what he said about Freemasonry, are all members of the same club that Freemasonry, at the highest level, is a member of. And Hitler did what Stalin did, and he abolished the lodges in Germany because he knew how he got to the leadership. And he knew that if they didn't like what he was doing, they would just pull him down and put somebody else up there.
Right.
So he and Stalin both, very smart men and understood power very well, got rid of the lodges so that this couldn't be done. But all they did was get rid of the lodges outwardly.
Right. The chain of command still was there.
The chain of command was still there, and they still met in secret, and that's the way they've survived for thousands of years.
I wanted to ask you, as far as, like with the CIA, the origins of the CIA, taking in the interests of the, or what do you call it, the secret service of the Nazis, what were they called?
Well, Alan Welsh Dulles literally absorbed the entire Nazi intelligence organization.
Right, he was on the Warren Commission, right?
Intact into the Central Intelligence Agency. Yes, he was.
Wow, man, this is, it's like a veil has been lifted, man. It's like all this stuff is really coming out now. Is that because they feel safer now that it can do that?
Well, they feel that there is no competition, you see. And if you travel around the country like I do and you see how the ordinary man and woman, the normal people in this country, act every day, they're most probably right unless we can wake up an awful lot of people.
Well, I just, I know the Bible. I brought up in the Christian belief, so I know what the Bible says is going to happen, and these things sure certain are falling right into that.
Be careful, because they use prophecy against you. They used it in the 30s against the German people and the people in Europe. The Nostradamus' prophecies were freely translated and handed around. They used the book of Revelations. Everybody was expecting a Messiah, and they got one. His name was Hitler.
Right.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody's running around predicting that Jesus Christ is coming, and many of them are predicting the exact date or the year.
Right.
And I'm telling you right now, what he says in the Bible is, ye shall know not the month, the day, nor the hour.
That's right. No man knows that time.
So, since everybody knows that he's coming right now, I can tell you, according to Jesus Christ, he's not coming right now.
Right, I agree.
Okay?
The second guy that comes around will be him, not the first one.
Well,
as far as that, the first one comes down, because I notice everything seems like tries to be as close to copying.
I'm trying to warn you, just do right in your life and forget about all that, because they use it as a way to manipulate you. I know people out there all over this country sitting there saying, I'm not going to get involved. I don't care if this country goes down the tubes. I don't care if there's a new world order. I don't care if they put the chains on us tomorrow, because I'm going to be raptured.
Yeah, that's a joke.
And then you've got all these preachers around the country and all these other people saying, I don't care if there's a new world order. I want the new world order. Hallelujah, the new world order is coming. We will suffer for a little while, and then we will be with Jesus.
Yeah, that's sad.
What fools.
The great deceptor is the one at it. So
you better believe it. Lucifer is the great deceiver. Whether Lucifer exists as a philosophy or as a real fallen angel, he is still the great deceiver, and you'd all better watch out.
I just talked to my wife's great grandfather. He's 90 something years old, and he was like the head matron of the Masons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what they call him, patron or matron. The husband, him and his wife both were.
Well, there's the Order of the Eastern Star, which is the inverted five-pointed star, which really is the symbol of the goat of Mendes and stands for evil. And,
you know, media, the word media goes back there, too. And all the, like their first were, where they signed the Declaration of Philadelphia, all those words that they made cities out of, it seems like they have all those...
Well, if you've been listening to the...
I've been listening for a long time. And when you said that one time, when you wanted the message to get out to Waco, and you said, I want this message to get out to Waco, those guys over there, the next time I heard, it was burned down.
That's right.
You know, and I know, man, there's too much to this, man. I appreciate you helping me. You've helped a lot. I hope to meet you someday, you know. And,
maybe.
I just tell you thanks a lot. And if anybody's listening, man, just get with the program and listen to what this man has to say.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, listen to everyone, read everything, believe nothing. Don't believe me, don't believe Dan Rather, don't believe Bill Clinton, don't believe your own mother unless you can prove it in your own research. Because unless you learn that you have the capability to determine the truth and lead yourself, you will always be a puppet on the string, and when the master pulls the string, you will always dance. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm Teresa from Phoenix.
Hello, Teresa.
I was listening to your program. I've heard it all from the beginning, your tape.
Uh-huh.
You were on your trip.
Yes.
And you mentioned the movie They Live.
Yes.
Well, I got that movie, and I was quite shocked at the subtle clues in it.
Blew you away, didn't it?
It absolutely blew me away.
And everybody was looking up in the sky for extraterrestrials, and they're down.
It has nothing at all to do with that.
That's right.
Nothing.
That's right.
I have been reading Eustace Mullins' book, The Curse of Canaan.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of that book?
Well, let me tell you something. I like Eustace, and I spoke with him at Wembley Arena in London, which is a great honor, by the way. It's something like Carnegie Hall here in New York. And we were sitting, talking, and obviously he did not know that I had a Chinese wife and a little daughter from this marriage. And we were talking about Dr. Strecker and how he seemed to be so much in love with his girlfriend, and we're speculating on whether or not they would get married. Eustace came unglued. He says, "Oh, no, then the children would be mongrels." When he said that, I lost all respect for him. All respect.
I see. Okay. Well,
And I even lost more respect when someone hastily told him that my wife was Chinese. He embarrassingly stated that he was part American Indian, which made him a hypocrite on top of everything else. Personality-wise, I liked him until he did that.
Well, what do you think of his writings? Are they to be believed?
Well, it's like everybody else's writings. Even my book, I found some mistakes in there. In the last printing, we corrected some of them. Which were mostly typos and some factual errors. Writers make mistakes. We found errors in his book, specifically one about the Federal Reserve, but they're mostly on dates and numbers of particular legislation. But when we found the right numbers, what he said in the book jived with what it said in the legislation. It's just that if you were looking for the one he named in the book, you never would have found it.
Well,
but these are normal. There's nothing, you know, that's no big reason to throw his books out, because his books certainly have lent an awful lot to a lot of people understanding what's wrong in this country today.
Well, I know if I had not have been listening to your tape and read his book, I would not have had the slightest clue what that movie was about.
Uh-huh.
And I recommend that movie to anyone. I think it is fantastic. I can't imagine how he got away with even filming it. How did, other than the fact that he kept throwing it off, you know, by these little ships in the air and all that.
Well, you see, they believe that we are just cattle. We're animals. We don't know how to use our brains. We can't use our intellect. And they let that movie go simply because they knew that most of the stupid Americans and the sheeple would not see what was really in that movie. They would see an invasion from outer space.
Well, I'd like to give a little bit of encouragement to people out there. I am just an average high school graduate. I'm 55 years old, and I understand this stuff. I can correlate it to, you know, to things that are going on in the world today. It is so easy to understand if you just get some knowledge.
Yeah, if you just get the basic understanding of the symbology, who they are and what their religion is, then the rest is really a piece of cake. If you don't fall down on the job, you got to keep learning.
Well, I tell you, when you get a little taste of it, you know, like they say, knowledge is a dangerous thing. once you get a taste of it, you just can't stop. You just want to go on and on and on. By the way, I cannot find your book, Behold a Pale Horse. I have called all the libraries. They don't have it.
Well, if you'd like to purchase it from us, you can send us $30 to P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 85901. I'll say it one more time. To William Cooper, P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 85901. We'll send it right out to you.
Okay, very good. Thank you for letting me talk.
Thank you for calling. Again, for those of you who may not know, the number is 602-333-2174. That's 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, it's a pleasure to speak with you. My name is Michael. I'm from South Jersey.
Hi, Michael.
And I have a very important question, and I'd like to get your opinion on it.
Sure.
I came back from New York, and I wanted to see John Lear, but unfortunately he canceled. I hope nothing's happened to him. You haven't heard anything, have you?
No, I haven't, but for all of you who think I'm going to be in Phoenix, I'm canceling Phoenix.
Well, I'm sure they're sorry about that also. Okay, my question to you is, I read your book, Cowboy, seen a few of your tapes.
Uh-huh.
I also read Matrix 2 and The Gods of Eden. And it's about the religious implication in the aliens.
Well, it's about the religious implication, and what it's doing is blaming everything on aliens.
Well, my question to you basically is, and I'm going to have my own beliefs either way, but...
Of course.
People seem to think that the reincarnation process and the recycling of souls is an alien endeavor, and that this light that people see when they have these near-death experiences is the way the aliens recycle souls. Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, yeah, I got a lot of opinions on that. Number one, no one knows what happens after death, and I mean no one.
I agree.
There are people who have claimed to have had a near-death experience, and I'm one of those people. When I lost my leg in 1976, they tell me that I died on the table from loss of blood. And I had the same experience that millions of other people had. I don't know if it was a real experience, and I was out there in space, and my soul running around, and my body was there in the operating room, or if this was all taking place in my brain as a fantasy, or as some kind of, as Jung would have said, an archetype that occurs with everybody in the same situation. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I didn't get any religious experience out of it. It was a wonderful experience. And I heard some what sounded like beautiful music, and I thought
light, like some people described,
light
in the distance.
Yeah, but I have no idea what it was or what it would do if I went there or not. I didn't go there, and I don't know why. But
aren't you on toward it, like some people say?
Yeah, but I didn't never made it there. But so what I'm trying to tell you is that nobody knows what happens after death. Nobody knows if there's a there's a heaven, really, except the Christians and some Jewish people believe that there is. People have made up a hell in the Bible. The hell that they talk about was a place outside of Jerusalem where they dumped the bodies of the indigent dead and the lepers who could not, didn't have enough money to afford a tomb. And I could go on and on and on. All this stuff about reincarnation and coming back and karma and everything. I can take you back in history to where reincarnation and karma first reared its head, and it was during a time in the Far East there was an imminent uprising of the people, and the rulers came out and told them about reincarnation, and this was to make them accept their lot in life. In other words, you did something in a past life that made you deserve this life. And you're going to have to rectify whatever you did in your past life that was wrong with what happens in this life. And maybe you can go higher on the wheel and be a sultan in the next life. And if you're not good, you're going to be a frog.
Right.
So it was a way of keeping people in their class so that they would not rebel against the rulers. And anyway.
Well, there does seem to be a couple top flight let's say UFO researchers right now, a couple of John Lears out there that really do believe there is no God now. They seem to believe that the aliens have some kind of total dominion over our spirit.
Oh, then where'd the aliens come from?
Well, that's what I believe. Everything is under God, and I believe it's just part of the grand scheme myself.
Well, the thing is, they're just passing the buck. Somebody's going to have to decide down the line where we all came from. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if we didn't come from evolution, we were created by some aliens... or the aliens were God and created us, whether it was whatever it was. Where did they come from?
On the tape, you made a reference to aliens leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And I was wondering how strong your belief was in that God's leading the
Israelites. Well, if you go back and look at the tape, I was talking to a New Age crowd
right. Who
believed that. And what I was trying to demonstrate to them is that if extraterrestrials are here, they're certainly not an enemy. Because, look, if what all you guys believe is true, then they led the Israelites out of Egypt.
I said that wasn't your personal belief there.
No.
Okay, yeah, I was getting worried me a little bit.
I have never known. If you go back and look at that tape, you'll see that all through there I say, this is what I saw in documents. This is what I get from research. If this is true, then this is what's happening. If this is not true, then this is what's happening.
Well, I was a little worried about you. I didn't know how far maybe you'd veer off, because I know you believe in God and you believe in Jesus.
Yes.
I think that's important, but, you know, I can't tell anyone what to believe.
Well, I appreciate
your time.
None of us want to tell anybody what to believe. What we want to do is wake people up so that they'll realize that whatever they believe today, chances are it's not the truth.
Oh, I don't believe anybody knows the truth anyway. I think it's a little beyond all of us.
Well, I don't think it's beyond all of us. I think there's some basic truths dealing with regular reality just on a daily basis between each other that we don't even know that we need to know.
Oh, and real quick, have you seen the new Budding series, X-Files?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty interesting. I was wondering how literal you might think it is. Maybe you should catch it, though. It looks pretty good.
When is it on?
It's on Friday nights. It's on Fox Network. And it's already gone through its second episode. The first one was about alien abductions, and the second one was about supposedly Area 51.
Uh-huh.
It seems to be somebody trying to leak this information out to the public now. And it's either a way of preparing us for the sudden shock if they're going to release it, or it's some of the good guys in government are actually trying to let us know what's really going on. I can't tell which it is.
Well, let me assure you one thing. There are no leaks. There are no leaks.
So then maybe they're just trying to prepare us.
Whatever is put out intentionally, either to deceive us or to direct us, direct society in a certain way that they want us to go.
Well, if you get a chance, I appreciate you checking it out, maybe commenting on your show.
I'll watch it this Friday if I have time.
Okay, listen, God bless you. Best of luck to you and your family.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you for calling. Okay, folks, they're building us up for something, I'll tell you that. They pumped $600 million into SETI. They had the Phobos probe with the Russians fail. They told us that our telescope, the Hubble telescope, didn't work, and that they forgot to test it before they sent it up there, which you all know is a lie. And all of a sudden, now a Mars probe has failed when it could have sent back either verification of the face on Mars and the pyramids that NASA photographs tell us are up there, or they could have sent back photographs that said that they're not really up there. But either way, we'll never know, will we? Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
Yes, I'm calling from Tennessee.
Yeah, I need you to talk a lot louder. You got a real low level. Yes.
I'm calling from Tennessee.
Okay.
I've listened to your program for about a month or so, and I just have a couple of simple questions.
Sure.
In listening to your response to listeners and your wisdom, if you will, and I believe I've noticed that you had spoke about some degree that you had in photography, possibly.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
Long Beach City College.
Long Beach City College?
Yes.
Is that a four-year degree?
No, it's a two-year degree.
So it's an associate degree?
Associate in science, yes.
Yes. And do you have any other degrees to help you to spout this wisdom?
Well, I don't know where you're going with this, but no, I don't. I have a lifetime of experience. I have a better library than most city libraries.
Oh, I don't disagree. Please don't take it wrong.
And I'm not spouting wisdom. I'm telling people what I've learned. Check it out. If you can, prove me wrong. But don't believe anything I say until you research it.
Yes, I understand. But when you tell people that you have a degree in photography, should you may not also tell them that it's just a two-year degree?
It doesn't make any difference. A degree in photography is like a degree in basket weaving. Don't you understand that?
Yes, I do, but maybe.
I'm not telling people I have a degree in philosophy or nuclear physics or anything like that.
I remember hearing you say one time last week, chastising a gentleman for his approaches, that you had a degree in photography, and you should not be chastised.
No, I don't know where you got that, but I certainly...
Well, I just heard it on the radio.
I have never told anybody that I should not be chastised or that I should not be criticized or should not be corrected if I am wrong. In fact, I have invited that, and anybody who's listening, program for any length of time will tell you that.
So at any rate, the degree that you have is simply a two-year degree.
Well, let me correct you. It is not simply a two-year degree. It's a two-year degree that I worked very, very hard for. And it's a two-year degree that most people in this country don't have, my friend. And your attempts to belittle my degree will not get you very far.
Well, I'm not...
What kind of a degree do you have?
I have a doctorate.
A doctorate in what?
Mine's in economics and computer science.
From what college?
I'm a Stanford person.
Stanford person. In other words, a New World Order person.
No, that's totally incorrect.
Oh, that's not incorrect. That's what Stanford teaches. That's what most people go there for.
Let's go back to the same point. Let's keep it very, very simple.
As long as we're not talking about you.
When you tell people that you have a degree in photography, you should say, I have a two-year associate degree in photography. All of my knowledge comes from the things that I've learned. I think you're very, very intelligent. I think you're very sharp. I think you know a whole lot of things. But I do not think that you should lead people to believe that you have some type of degree that you do not have.
Well, in the first place, I haven't led anybody to believe that I have a degree that I do not have. I have a degree in photography. I worked very hard for that degree. I've also had a gallery of fine art photography. I've also worked many years in the ownership of a fine art photography and a photography studio. I've also produced many video documentaries, and I do an awful lot of photography today.
And I think you're a very sharp person, but I got the feeling when I listened to your show last week that you put this person down because...
No. If what you're talking about is what I think it is, did it have something to do with the Kennedy assassination?
No, I don't even know what it was about. It's just that you made this caller feel very bad. You could send it to the radio. In other words, what I'm saying is that he had his opinion and you had your opinion, and literally the feeling that came through your program was, hey, don't talk to me. I've got a degree in photography.
Well, without knowing what you're talking about, I'll go back and listen to the tapes. If you're right, I'll certainly apologize. I'm not above that. But I will tell you this. I don't say that unless someone is challenging some finding that I've made through my knowledge of photography. For instance, there's a very well-known man here in the United States. His name is Robert Groden, who touts that he is the world's foremost, number one, independent photo analyst. And he was called before the House Committee on Assassinations in 1976 to testify about the Zapruder film. Well, number one, he did not tell them the truth about what's on the Zapruder film, and that's either because he intentionally lied to Congress or he didn't know anything about photo analysis. Upon checking his education, we found that he has no education whatsoever in photography. He has never worked as a photo analyst. He was not an expert and should never have been called. And yes, I have challenged those things. And yes, I have stated in those situations that I have a degree in photography and he does not. Does that help you any?
Not really. What does help me is that to tell people that you have a two-year...
Well, we've hashed this and hashed this and hashed this. I don't think anybody in this world cares, other than you for some nitpicking reason or other, whether I have a two-year degree in photography or an 18-year degree in photography, because photography, except when we talk about the Zapruder film, our photography has absolutely nothing to do with anything that we discuss on this show.
The actual word of the degree is what allows one or allows you answer other folks' questions about things that have nothing to do with photography. As long as everybody knows that you've got a two-year degree...
No. You're way off base. That has absolutely nothing to do with what anybody asks me on this show or what we talk about on this show. Good night. 602-333-2174. Boy, if that's all that PhDs do is sit around and figure out how to call in a radio show and spend 10 minutes talking about something as stupid as that. Maybe that's what's wrong with why we can't get technology out of laboratories. Good evening. You're on the air. Well, sounds like they hung up. 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is Terry from Atlanta.
Hi, Terry.
I didn't know there were any snobs in Tennessee.
Boy, he really was one, wasn't he?
Oh, please, Mary. I couldn't believe you kept him on that long. Look.
Well, I was trying to be nice because he was a PhD. And
well,
course,
you tried harder than I would.
Of course, that has something to do with, you know, how long I keep him on and what we're going to talk about and what he's got the expertise to talk about. And since he doesn't have a degree in photography, I don't know what he was talking about.
Well, let me tell you all straight off. I went two and a half years. There I go. 2.5 years to a private college, and I don't have a degree, but I have eyes in my head.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if anyone else caught this weekend on C-SPAN the reenactment of the laying of the cornerstone at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it. I was at a booth in this big, huge coliseum in Denver, and somebody came in and told me about it.
I taped it for you. I'll send it along.
Oh, fantastic.
Very interesting. Pouring rain. And here are this whole assembly of masons. One by one, they come up and kiss this thing. They kneel to the ground. They kiss something behind the stone, and I don't know what because you can't see it. And then they put the trowel back on top of the cornerstone.
Uh-huh.
And then their guest of honor was Senator Thurmond from South Carolina, and he did the same thing.
Well, if you want to know what they probably kissed, look into the Legend of the Templars. And also be aware that
I'd have to reread that.
In most of the ancient cathedrals, these are Christian cathedrals now in Europe. In most of the ancient Christian cathedrals, the old ones, under the altar, they have found stone penises.
Oh, that's what they're kissing. I get it. Hey, listen, you know, in the same vein, I remember a couple weeks ago you were talking about Tom Valentine, or supposedly the owner of the, or founder of the Spotlight, that sort of thing, with the shady background.
Yeah.
Well, it was too late for me because I had already sent in a check.
Let's make this clear. I didn't say it was shady. I just said that they have a certain political viewpoint that everybody needs to understand. You cannot read their material and listen to their shows without understanding that they have an agenda, and that agenda is national socialism.
Right. What I was saying is I went ahead and had already ordered a subscription. And then listened, heard you, and then I got my first issue, and the first issue bore you out. There's an article in it calling for political action volunteers, and they've got a whole setup. They're doing software, and you pay $350 and buy a set of cassette tapes and everything else. And then they've got a logo of it, a symbol of it. It's the Phoenix, for God's sake.
Yes.
And I, you know, anyone knows. Well, I had seen a couple years ago a color symbol of the Phoenix, which was engraved on the ECU currency that was to be released in the year 2018,
uh-huh.
if you can believe that. That is supposedly the target date, the year of the Phoenix.
Yeah.
But no doubt they've moved that up. But I thought, my God, are these people... And then on the television program in C-SPAN, at the end of the ceremony, the pouring rain, what do? They play, you know, the theme song from Valentine's Show. They're playing Stars and Stripes Forever, and I'm sitting there laughing. It was wild.
Yeah.
So I've got copies of that. I'm going to try and get out to you along with the video.
Great. I really appreciate that.
And really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I have a pretty good background just myself the last 5 years and what I've discovered, but boy, when you have someone that helps plug in the pieces, it really helps.
Uh-huh.
And vice versa.
Well, great. Thank you.
Thank
for,
you.
For calling.
You betcha.
And I'll look for that video.
Okay.
Good
Bye.
Night. Well, folks, while I was gone, I don't know whether you all fell down on the job or not, but you need to pick yourselves up. I want you, as soon as this program, as soon as you hear the closing music tonight, I want you to go to your telephone and call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Now, don't procrastinate. Don't wait until tomorrow. Do it tonight. Leave a message asking Gene Miller to call you. Make sure that you do that. It's important. You have a responsibility to yourself and to your family to prepare for what's coming. And what's coming, folks, is an economic collapse. It must happen. And we're all going to be in bad straits, whether it happens or not. If this NAFTA treaty goes through, the middle class will literally disappear from this country. And NAFTA, coupled with the graduated income tax, if we don't do something about that, is guaranteed death knell for the middle class. You've wondered why we keep getting poorer over the years, and the most affluent country in the world, with the most opportunity, with the best education? My gosh, look around you. And most of you, I know, listening to this program, have not taken any steps to protect everything that you've worked for all your life. Now, if you can't sit down and explain to your wife and children what is going to protect you all in case the economy collapses totally at noon tomorrow, then you better call 1-800-289-2646 tonight. You better do that. And if you don't do it, you better be able to explain to your wife and kids why you didn't do it. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now, folks. Do it right now. While you have the opportunity, you have the time, and it's on your mind. I'm going to take maybe one or two more calls. I think I've only got time for one, but we'll see what happens. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, it's a pleasure. I'll be quick here. I know time's about out. Go look at the Disney movie Mermaids, Little Mermaid, and on the cover of it, there's a picture of both the characters, and behind them there's a castle. And on the front of that castle, above the characters there on it, as plain as day, there's a big, long, gold penis.
Yeah.
No mistake about it.
Well, you have to understand that Disney was a member of this secret group. If you go to Disneyland, the occult symbolism is everywhere, literally everywhere. Walt Disney was an Anglophile. Remember what I told you? At the heart and soul of this is the belief that the Anglo-Aryan races are superior to all other races. And while they may expound in their philosophy to attract other races and other people to the various lodges, which, by the way, are all segregated, they say that they don't see race, only differences in ideas. It's a lie. All you have to do is go to the lodge and see what happens. But, look at all of Walt Disney movies. Look at all of them. You'll see the symbology of the mystery schools and everything that the Walt Disney Studios has ever done, except for their earliest cartoons. And you'll see it in a lot of the later cartoons. You'll see it in all of the feature movies they ever did. You'll also see it all throughout Disneyland, everywhere. It's amazing. And if you go get the latest book that is out now, it's called Walt Disney, Black Prince of Hollywood. You'll see his connections to the FBI and the intelligence community. He was actually a paid informer for the FBI to track down communists in Hollywood. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, I've heard you mention it before, which I find interesting. I just thought this was really blatant. I mean, it's right there. There's no mistake about it. One other quick question, if I could get this in.
Sure.
My Masonic radar has been getting tuned a lot better from listening to you. I look at the Statue of Liberty. I see the flame at the top and the water at the bottom. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. And who's in between?
Right.
ISIS.
I see.
What is the crown that ISIS is wearing? It's a symbol of the sun.
Okay.
So ISIS is not liberty at all. Isis is the resurrection of the old god. She's holding in her torch the light of illumination in her hand. The other is the book, one of the greater lights of the lodge. And, of course, you won't understand that until you get into the symbology and the ceremonies that they have in the lodge. They have the three greater lights and the three lesser lights. One of the three greater lights is the holy book that's on the altar. In this country, they claim to be Christians, and they point to the book on the altar as the Christian Bible. But they're not Christians. That in itself is also a lie. If you go to a Hindu country, you'll see the Bhagavad Gita or one of the Rig Vedas or something there. If you go to the Middle East, you may see the Quran or the Torah. Anyway, that should help you out. You'll have to understand also that it's this is a war between those who believe in the waters of life and live by faith, and those who believe in the fire, the sun, the light, Lucifer, the philosophers of fire, who believe in works.
Let me let you go, then. I appreciate all the info and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Thank you for calling. Well, I think we got time for one reel. No, actually, we don't. We don't have time, folks, so that's it. And I've got to say good night and God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in, and don't forget to come back tomorrow night.
Barefoot feeling in her fingertips. It's